you are going to listen to a talk about a trend in the British economy. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 8 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
In our series of talks about the British economy, we welcome Emmy Foskett, an expert on new economic trends, who is going to talk about the flat white economy. The title of her talk, Welcome to Hipsterland.
Fixed gear bicycles, beards, plaid, tattoos, thick glasses, Apple products, artisanal breads, cold-pressed juices, coffee. 21st century hipsterism may be hard to define, but you know it when you see it. However, those who've mistakenly believed that the hipster's main contribution to the economy was creating demand for beard wax were recently put right by economist Douglas McWilliams. In his book, The Flat White Economy, he suggests that hipsters and the ecosystem around them hold the key to Britain's future prosperity. They're not only greener and more ethical than the rest of the population, but the industries in which they work are driving the economy. So what is the flat white economy? Well, it's named after the hipster's favourite drink, flat white, a coffee drink, and refers to a phenomenon that has changed the whole nature of London's economy. Walk the area around Shoreditch in East London and you'll see an extraordinary mix of open-plan offices and galleries, niche shops and restaurants with outlandish names like Serial Killer, as well as cafes that will also mend your bicycle. In short, you'll be right in the centre of a creative, internet-driven, new wing of the economy. This new source of growth is based on online retail and marketing, media and the creative industries. However, it comprises many different businesses, and I would argue that the flat white economy is mainly defined by the types of people it employs. The new trendsetters don't have as much money as their loads of money forebears from the financial services of the 80s and 90s, and as a consequence, their spending patterns are driven by novelty rather than cost. Neither do they have much space. They share flats and often bedrooms. They don't have space for cups and saucers and dining rooms, so it makes more sense to head out to a cafe for breakfast. Instead of suits, they wear skinny jeans. They buy bicycles rather than Porsches. They may have expensive electronic products, but on the whole, they are less materialistic than their parents' generation, and they work out of makeshift offices in the East End rather than the financial services in the city. Let me give you some facts. In 2018, the flat white economy contributed 14.4% of gross value added to the UK, making it more important than traditional sectors such as manufacturing or the utilities. Many of these new businesses operate out of coffee shops and are owned by just a lone wolf with a laptop. In the last census, 150,000 people in London were reported to be working in this sector, although some experts think that this may be closer to 200,000 now. This number is projected to grow even more in the foreseeable future. And the workforce in the flat white economy is extremely diverse. The capital's talent pool is unique, and the lure of working in this part of East London helps draw talent from far and wide. There are people from all over Europe and from all walks of life. This mix of races, genders, and backgrounds seems to generate a constant flow of ideas. But critics argue that what has happened in East London is unsustainable and brings plenty of problems. For one thing, Long-time EastEnders are not amused by the steady influx of hipsters. They consider them serious and self-important and blame them for soaring property prices. While the rent for new offices used to be £3 per square foot not so long ago, it's now £60. Another problem is rolling out the model beyond London. The flat white economy is driving fast growth in one small area, but is it replicable elsewhere? In some respects, America has been there already. Brooklyn, New York's version of East London, Portland and Boston are cities that experienced a version of the flat white economy before London did. Still, it is tempting to see the world that has been created in this part of East London over the past years as a model for modern cities. A highly skilled, creative, international workforce, commuting by bicycle, thinking about where their meat comes from, buying second-hand clothes, and selling complicated things to buyers around the world. If you try to put aside prejudices about men with waxed moustaches riding penny farthings, Shoreditch can appear like a kind of idealised cross between Stockholm and Silicon Valley. Plenty of people hate hipsters, but if more of us lived like them, the world would be greener, more left-wing, and less preoccupied with greed. Moreover, with the reputation of the financial services in shreds and more traditional industries continuing their decline, the flat white economy is an increasingly important economic factor.
In our series of talks about the British economy, we welcome Emmy Foskett, an expert on new economic trends, who is going to talk about the flat white economy. The title of her talk, Welcome to Hipster Land.
Fixed gear bicycles, beards, plaid, tattoos, thick glasses, Apple products, artisanal breads, cold-pressed juices, coffee. 21st century hipsterism may be hard to define, but you know it when you see it. However, those who've mistakenly believed that the hipster's main contribution to the economy was creating demand for beard wax were recently put right by economist Douglas McWilliams. In his book, The Flat White Economy, he suggests that hipsters and the ecosystem around them hold the key to Britain's future prosperity. They're not only greener and more ethical than the rest of the population, but the industries in which they work are driving the economy. So what is the flat white economy? Well, it's named after the hipster's favourite drink, flat white, a coffee drink, and refers to a phenomenon that has changed the whole nature of London's economy. Walk the area around Shoreditch in East London and you'll see an extraordinary mix of open-plan offices and galleries, niche shops and restaurants with outlandish names like Serial Killer, as well as cafes that will also mend your bicycle. In short, you'll be right in the centre of a creative, internet-driven, new wing of the economy. This new source of growth is based on online retail and marketing, media and the creative industries. However, it comprises many different businesses, and I would argue that the flat white economy is mainly defined by the types of people it employs. The new trendsetters don't have as much money as their loads of money forebears from the financial services of the 80s and 90s, and as a consequence, their spending patterns are driven by novelty rather than cost. Neither do they have much space. They share flats and often bedrooms. They don't have space for cups and saucers and dining rooms, so it makes more sense to head out to a cafe for breakfast. Instead of suits, they wear skinny jeans. They buy bicycles rather than Porsches. They may have expensive electronic products, but on the whole, they are less materialistic than their parents' generation, and they work out of makeshift offices in the East End rather than the financial services in the city. Let me give you some facts. In 2018, the flat white economy contributed 14.4% of gross value added to the UK, making it more important than traditional sectors such as manufacturing or the utilities. Many of these new businesses operate out of coffee shops and are owned by just a lone wolf with a laptop. In the last census, 150,000 people in London were reported to be working in this sector, although some experts think that this may be closer to 200,000 now. This number is projected to grow even more in the foreseeable future. And the workforce in the flat white economy is extremely diverse. The capital's talent pool is unique, and the lure of working in this part of East London helps draw talent from far and wide. There are people from all over Europe and from all walks of life. This mix of races, genders, and backgrounds seems to generate a constant flow of ideas. But critics argue that what has happened in East London is unsustainable and brings plenty of problems. For one thing, long-time East Enders are not amused by the steady influx of hipsters. They consider them serious and self-important and blame them for soaring property prices. While the rent for new offices used to be £3 per square foot not so long ago, it's now £60. Another problem is rolling out the model beyond London. The flat white economy is driving fast growth in one small area, but is it replicable elsewhere? In some respects, America has been there already. Brooklyn, New York's version of East London, Portland and Boston are cities that experienced a version of the flat white economy before London did. Still, it is tempting to see the world that has been created in this part of East London over the past years as a model for modern cities. A highly skilled, creative, international workforce, commuting by bicycle, thinking about where their meat comes from, buying second-hand clothes, and selling complicated things to buyers around the world. If you try to put aside prejudices about men with waxed moustaches riding penny farthings, Shoreditch can appear like a kind of idealised cross between Stockholm and Silicon Valley. Plenty of people hate hipsters, but if more of us lived like them, the world would be greener, more left-wing, and less preoccupied with greed. Moreover, with the reputation of the financial services in shreds and more traditional industries continuing their decline, the flat white economy is an increasingly important economic factor.